You're listening to an audio sermon by Pastor Bernard Mulder from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
Well, I want to preach a message this morning that I hope will challenge you on win someone for Jesus. One thing is more sure than ever that the coming of Christ is closer. Tomorrow even there's an eclipse, and so many people are saying things about this eclipse and the meaning of the eclipse. And I do believe it's from God, amen. Eclipse of that magnitude, God is involved, and God is always speaking to us in times and seasons, amen. Sons of Issachar, the Bible says they understood times and seasons. You have to understand the time and the season that you're in. But Jesus, in the book of John 4, he said to his disciples, do not say, in 4 months the harvest will be ready. I'm telling you, the harvest is ready now. Lift up your eyes and see that it's white, it's ready. Amen? John 4:35, do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Verse 37, for in this case the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you've not labored. Others have labored, and yet you've entered into their labor. It starts with a confession. What are you saying? Nobody wants to get saved. Nobody wants to know Jesus. Are you saying the harvest is ready? What is your confession? Jesus said to his disciples, lift up your eyes. Whenever you see, lift up your eyes, it means have faith. That's the look of faith. The same when Jesus, or when God spoke to Abraham and said, lift up your eyes and see the land that I've given you. Amen? See, the harvest is ready. Stop delaying, stop procrastinating, but go and ask God, who is that person that I should reach out to? And I want to look at some parables in the Bible this morning, and I hope that the Holy Spirit will challenge your heart. Amen? The Bible teaches us that he who wins souls is wise. Turn to the person next to you, say, if you win souls, you are wise. Amen. The Amplified says, Proverbs 11 verse 30, the fruit of the uncompromising righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise captures human lives for God as a fisher of men. He gathers and receives them for eternity. Amen. So we are all called to win souls. Amen. Turn to the person next to you, say, be a soul winner. You know, sometimes we know that Jesus wants us to win souls. We know that I'm saved to save others. Amen. You're not just saved to be saved. You are saved to save others. You are blessed to be a blessing. And sometimes we have this revelation, but we still don't understand the heart of God when it comes to those things. So I want to just take some time and go through that. Amen. Are you ready? Let's pray. Precious Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy, your tremendous grace that you have towards us. Thank you, Lord, for taking us from where we are to where you want us to be. Touch our hearts, O Lord. Give us a heart, O Lord, to win souls. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 15. Verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Are you only friends with Christians? Or do you know some people that are not Christians? Because sometimes we become such a holy huddle that we have nobody to minister to, that we become irrelevant. Am I talking to the right people? When people say, oh, look who he's hanging out with, take it as a compliment, amen? Jesus hanged out with sinners. He never sinned. So if your heart is drawing you to do what they are doing, that's red lights, amen. I'm not saying doing that. But if your heart, and you've got a heart and a passion for the lost, to touch them, to minister and show the love of Jesus, yes, go for it, amen. This man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Amen. Turn to the person next to you, say the 1%. Say 1%. So I'm going to show you here from Scripture the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, representing 1%, 10%, 50%. Amen. Turn to the person next to you, say, everybody is valuable. Can I tell you something? Peter had the revelation that Jesus was the Christ. He knew that Jesus was the Christ, but he did not understand Jesus' heart. Did not have the heart of Jesus yet. Remember, when Jesus asked the question, he said, who do people say that I am? See, some of you say you're a prophet. Some of you say you're Elijah. Peter said, you're the Messiah. You're the Savior. You're the Christ. And Jesus said, I want to tell you something, Peter. You didn't figure this out yourself. My Father in heaven has revealed this to you. Revelation came to you. In the next sentence, or the next few verses, Peter gets rebuked by Jesus. Why is that? He had revelation of who Jesus was, but he still did not have the revelation of his heart, understood his heart. When Jesus said, I have to go die so that you can be saved, he said, no, Jesus, you are not going to die. That's not going to happen. Remember, I had the revelation that you're the Christ. Am I talking to the right people here? And Jesus rebuked him and said, get behind me, Satan. You don't know what spirit you're of. You don't understand. Something to think about. Sometimes we know Jesus loves the lost, but we don't know his heart for the lost. So the first parable is to show Jesus as the good shepherd, the one who is prepared to leave the 99 and go after that one lost person. It speaks of those outside of the church. Do you still have a heart for those outside of the church? Am I talking to the right people here? Turn to the person next to you and say, love the lost. So this whole parable is here for us to show that the individual, that one person that's gone astray, Jesus loves them. You know, sheep are one of the animals that go astray the most easiest. They've got a bit of a stubborn nature in them to want to do their own thing. Do you know people like that? This shows us here that God seeks out the lost, and then he goes after the lost, he pursues the lost. Are you ready to pursue the lost? Are you ready to go after the lost with everything? That's the heart of Jesus. He loves the lost. Luke 19 verse 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you not grateful that God never gave up on you? Who have you messed up? Who have you messed up many times? Who have you messed up over and over? And Jesus is still coming after you. Amen. So a lost sheep are those that are headless, thoughtless. They don't know what they are doing. Sometimes people are just ignorant. When sinners sin, they are doing what they've been trained to do. They're doing what they know to do. That's why we need Jesus in their lives so that they can change. Amen. We need to have a heart for those that are out in the world that are exposed to dangers. Can I tell you something? We don't just help and reach out to people that's in our church, but to reach out to those who are not part of your fold, those that are out there, people that you don't even know. Am I talking to the right people? This is the heart of God, not just to have the revelation that he's a good shepherd that is going, but for us to have that heart as well. Amen. Are you ready to look at the next one? Let's go to it. The lost coin. Who of you have lost some money in your life and looked for money in your home? Amen. You will identify with this one. It says, what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, Does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I found the peace which I lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Amen. This is so important to understand here, that a woman speaks of an helper. Amen. It's a type of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit working in people's lives. Can I just tell you, when you start to pray for a family member or a friend or a colleague that does not know Jesus, as soon as you start praying for them, know that the Holy Spirit immediately starts to work in their lives. Sometimes we look at them and we think nothing has changed, but God is working in their hearts. Amen? The Bible says here, she diligently seeks out, goes through the house. Amen? Do you know what this speaks of? It speaks about people that are lost in the house. You know, you can be in a church and not be saved. You can be in a church and be lost. I was in a church for many years, even a Sunday school teacher, but I was not born again. When you look at the story in John 10, take your time, not part of my notes. John 10, Nicodemus. As a matter of fact, Nicodemus was a teacher of the Jews. He has been teaching for 30 years. He comes to Jesus, he says, "I want to understand something. I've been preaching for 30 years, you've been doing it for 3 years. There's signs, wonders, and miracles taking place. People's lives are changing. Why is it?" Jesus said to him, "I've got news to you. You're not going to understand this if you're not born again. You won't be able to see this if you're not born again." He says, "What are you talking about? How can I go back into my mother's womb?" He says, "I'm telling you, you cannot be part of my kingdom if you're not born again." There are many people that serve God from here, but they're not born again from here. You need to be born of the Spirit. The lost need to be born again. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, "You must be born again." Every time when you read these parables, you see the joy in heaven over one person that returns back to God. Returns back to God. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, "Win somebody for Jesus." Turn to the person on the other side and say, "Win somebody for Jesus." So the light in this specific parable speaks of the enlightenment that you need, that you have a need of Christ. Many of us grew up as Christians. We're faithful to go to church every Sunday, but we're still not born again. You need the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. So these first two parables teaches us first, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, prepared to go after us, speaks about redemption that's available to all of mankind, and that God is pursuing everybody. Even that one little sheep that goes astray, wants to do his own thing, senseless behavior, God is even going to go after that person. The second parable is the Holy Spirit that brings enlightenment. Amen? And we need both for us to understand the third parable of the lost son. All of us have been lost. It speaks to all of us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. John 16 verse 8 says, "And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." He says, this is what the Holy Spirit will come. He will convict you of that. Now, many people read that and they think, oh, yes, judgment on people. I'm telling you now, if you think judgment on people, you might have a revelation that Jesus is the Christ and the Messiah, but you don't know the heart of God. God does not want judgment on mankind. That's why Jesus came and took all judgment upon himself. Amen? Give the Lord a hand. So let me just tell you something. We have the lost in the world, people that go astray, and we have the lost in the church. And the answer for both of them is exactly the same. Get back to Jesus. Get back to Jesus. Amen? They both need to experience the love of God. Both of them are seeking something, but it can only be found in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to John 3:16 quickly. You know it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus came to this earth not to judge the world, but to save the world. So Jesus is the good shepherd that has come to lay down his life, to die for all of mankind, for all judgment to come upon him. Am I talking to the right people here? You know, I'm sometimes surprised when I see videos that people make and they say, God is going to judge you. God is going to judge you. And yes, there will be a judgment day. I'm not saying there's not a judgment day. But I'm saying right now, while we are here, let's win somebody for Jesus. Amen? Jesus' disciples all had the revelation that he was the Christ and the Messiah when Peter spoke it, when Peter said it. Am I talking to the right people here? They all had the revelation. But they did not want to die to self. The sons of Zebedee, they're on their way to Jerusalem, what we were talking about last week at Easter, on their way to Jerusalem. Jesus says, go find a place where we can stay in Samaria. They go, they get to Samaria. They say, we've got good news. We're looking for a place where Jesus can stay tonight. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. Oh, he's the Savior of the world. It's such an honor and a grace to have him here in your midst. You say, who? Jesus who? Jesus the Jew? No, sorry, Jew cannot sleep in my house. A Jew in my bed? Sorry, not in my bed. They say, what? Jesus, we don't want you to get offended. We know you're upset with them. We're going to do the prophet thing. We're going to call fire down on them. Just make them know that you are here. Am I talking to the right people here? You know what Jesus did? Jesus rebuked them. And he said to them, you don't know of what spirit you are. You don't know your own hearts. You say you have revelation that I'm the Christ, but you want judgment upon people. You want to destroy people. I've not come to destroy people. I've come to save people's lives. Turn to the person next to you. Yes, give the Lord a hand. Some of you are hesitant. You're thinking, oh, some people must just first get some fire. This is why Jesus cannot trust people with the power and authority of heaven, because many people will use that fire to destroy people's lives instead of saving people's lives. They say, we know Jesus, we serve Jesus, but their heart is to kill, steal, and destroy. If you could call down fire from heaven and somebody is now parked in your parking space for the fourth time, what would your response be? Oh, brother, do you know what grace I have? I have a grace to call down fire from heaven. I'm just going to warn you once. If you park on that parking spot one more time, neither you nor me or the Lord will ever see that car again, because I'll go fire down from heaven. Don't raise your hand. Just double blink at me. Amen. Am I talking to the right people here? Sometimes we say Jesus is the Christ, he's the Savior. But as soon as people offend us, we want to get spiritual. Are we just going to do what the prophet did? The prophet called down fire from heaven. That was Old Testament. Amen? The Christ has now come to bring life and life in abundance. The devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Luke 9:55, but he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are. He says, you don't know my heart, but I can see what heart you have. You say I'm the Christ, but you still don't have my heart. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. I'll share a little bit more about that in the weeks to come. But many times we have the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, but we still don't know his heart towards people. Turn to the person next to you, say, Jesus loves everybody. Can I tell you something? What this reveals here is conflict between different cultures. Samaritan and a Jew. You cannot sleep in my bed. Some people still do that today. And it's 30 years later. Some people still don't allow certain cultures in their church. Am I talking to the right people here? We say, Jesus, you are our Savior, you are Lord. You don't know the heart of God. For us to be baptized into one body by one Spirit, to drink from one Spirit. Can you drink from the same cup as another culture? That's what he was talking about. He was challenging them in their hearts. He said, here you're doing the right thing, but here nothing has changed. The good news is you can change. Remember what he said to his disciples. Acts 1 verse 8, he says, wait in Jerusalem until you've received power from above. Until you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. He says, once you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, go to Jerusalem. Share with them the gospel. Then go to Samaria in a different spirit. Not of judging, but of loving, of caring. Go in the spirit of Christ. Then you'll see, you'll be able to love as Christ loves. You'll be able to forgive as Christ forgives. Too many times we try and engage in Christian service without the power of the Holy Spirit. I hope I'm talking to some people here today. To love all cultures the way Jesus loves them, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. God gave us Jesus and he gave us the Holy Spirit. If you want to win the lost, you need Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You know what's the most amazing thing? Jesus will always point you to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will always point you to Jesus. When you come to Jesus and say, Jesus, help me. This person has made me so angry. Don't know how I can forgive them. Say, just go to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Let the Holy Spirit show you how to do it. You get to the Holy Spirit. He says, Holy Spirit, what am I going to do? Help me. He says, just look to Jesus. As Christ has forgiven you, forgive them. As Christ was crucified on the cross, be crucified. Am I talking to the right people? I'm talking to Christians here this morning. To follow Jesus, to come to Jesus is easy. Jesus says, come to me, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's not easy, or it's not difficult for people to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. It's easy, just come to him. He'll accept you, he loves everybody, all cultures, even those that are different than you. Even those from different religions, he loves them. People acting differently, he loves them all. But once you've become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you say, Jesus, here I am. I want to follow you. Following Jesus. Oh, my word. That's something completely different. Am I talking to the right people here? If they told you just come to Jesus, it's going to be easy. Coming to Jesus is easy. They didn't lie to you. He's done it for us. But following him is not just seeing his works, but learning his ways, according to Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. And then you just have to go read verse 24. That's the most special one. Being crucified with him. Likening yourself to die to yourself. Amen? That when you want to be nasty, you're not nasty. Am I talking to the right people here? Some of you want to get people saved, but you just first want to remind them how bad and wicked sinner they are. Not sure if God can forgive you for what you've done here. One too many time, I don't know. Huh? Or God will forgive you, but you will just remind them how bad they are. Let's go and look at the last parable. Verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, he journeyed to a far off country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But let me just tell you something. This attitude of this young man in his father's house, to say to your father, I want my inheritance, is just another way of saying, I wish you were dead. I wish you would die so that I can have my inheritance, so I can use it the way that I want to. That's many times people's attitude in the church. Just give me the blessing. Give me the blessing. But as soon as God gives you the blessing, are you still in the house? Gone. Very quiet here. Now you wonder why God is still considering your prayer request. If you received that big contract, if you had it on Friday, would you be in church today? Is that then really a blessing if it's taking you away from God? This is a parable for all of us, family. This speaks to all of us, for all of us to search our hearts. Amen. What is there that can take you away from God? Amen. Verse 15, then he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate and no one gave him anything. Verse 17, but when he came to himself, sometimes it takes some situations and circumstances to bring people to their senses. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. You know what's so beautiful? Before he said, I want. Now he said, make me. Make me. Let me be your servant. You know what's the most beautiful thing about this? When he came back, his father never treated him like that. When his father saw him, the first thing he did is he placed a robe on him. He removed that stinking, sinful clothes, that things that smelled like the world. He removed that garment and put his garment on him to show that he is his son. Amen. The cloak of righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin so that we can become the righteousness of God. So we thank God for that. Amen. So this son, the sonship, speaks of a maturity. When he was in the house, there's a maturity in that if you're a son. There's an involvement. There are many people that's been involved in churches as sons and daughters that have served faithfully that are not serving faithfully anymore. It's our responsibility to go and find them. Amen? When they come back, and I'm telling you now, when they come to their senses and they come back, we should be ready to receive them with open arms. The first two, the sheep and the coin, somebody had to go after them to find them. The good shepherd had to go after them and find them. The woman had to find the coin. Sometimes where you are, you have to go and find that person that's lost. But here is a son that is so far away that the Holy Spirit has to help him to come to his senses. And when he comes, we have to be ready not to be judgmental. You know, many times, even in my own life, when I've not seen somebody for a long time, and you greet them, they will say, oh, I see the prodigal has returned. Huh? I've never been a you know what I'm talking about. And you think, no. You never gave me inheritance that I could leave. I've never gone and squandered anything. I'm just seeing you again. But your heart has been revealed. How you're judging me, how you view me, how you see me. Oh, the prodigal has returned. Huh? No, don't do that. The Bible says the father was living and lurking and loving that lost son all the time. When he saw him, he ran to him. When those that have been serving in the house of God returns, run to them with open arms. Be joyful, be glad that they've come back. Amen. Don't want to offend them and push them back away. I mean, the truth is sin will make you hard. Sin will separate you from friends and family and even from God. Amen. But it's this redemptive power of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that enlightens it, that brings us back to God. Let's not judge people. Amen. Let's not judge people. Let's love them, especially the lost when they come back. John 6 verse 44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." You know what is the problem for lost that come back into the house of God? Is the religious older brothers that get upset. Why is everybody now happy about him? Don't you remember what he did? Am I talking to the right people here? Should I remind you of his past? No, Jesus does not want to remind us of our past. He has forgiven us of our past. Remind the lost about the good future that God has planned for them. Amen. So when the son returns, the father puts on a robe to say, "Listen, that stench, I've removed it. We're putting a new fragrance on you." Place the ring on his finger to say, "My authority, you've got it again." Amen. Can I just say that again? Your authority is back. It's restored back. The shoes that you've got on to show that you're a son. Because the devil will come and attack your sonship the whole time. That's the thing that he will question the whole time. This is the thing that makes people feel so condemned. Even Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, why are you going through this? Let's not be an instrument of the enemy and make people feel condemned. But let them know that Jesus loves them. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. So I'm going to close with this. Where are you today? Are you maybe that 1% that just wandered away and somebody's gone after you to come back? Maybe you somebody that's lost in the house that needs enlightenment. I need to be born again and come back. Or maybe a prodigal that's wandered away. Amen. Let me just say, we have the responsibility to win somebody. If you truly believed I'm saved to save others, win somebody for Jesus. Win someone for Jesus. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Win someone for Jesus." Turn to the person on the other side and say, "Win someone for Jesus." We've even got little cards here to make it easy for you. Win someone for Jesus, little card. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, "That's too easy." So this is to remind you to do it as well. But I'm going to give you three cards, and you say, "Holy Spirit, show me who are the three people that I should give this to." Amen. That we can win someone for Jesus. I want to close with this. The Bible has given us all the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18 says, "Now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Turn to the person next to you, say, "You have the ministry of reconciliation." Now all things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So if God is not keeping people's trespasses against him, why are you saying to them, "Oh, what you have done there, oh, you know that God is going to judge you"? Where do you get that? You might have a revelation that Jesus is the Christ, that he's the Savior, but you don't know his heart. He's not come to judge the world. He's come to save the world. Amen. There'll be a second coming and there'll be a day of judgment, but that's not now. Amen. A matter of fact, people won't even go to hell one day because of sin. They'll go to hell because they don't acknowledge what Jesus did on the cross, because he removed sin once and for all. He's dealt with sin. That's something to go and meditate upon. Verse 19, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. This is what Jesus has done. We have this ministry of reconciliation. Amen. It's our responsibility. Jesus said in Matthew 9:37, The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. I'm beseeching you this morning. Go out and bring the harvest in. Amen. Go and share the gospel and win somebody for Jesus. You're not on your own. The Holy Spirit is helping you. You have the heart of Jesus. You have Jesus on the inside of you. Amen. Who came and laid down his life for all of mankind. Let's go and win someone for Jesus. We have the ministry of reconciliation. It's our responsibility. The good news is your family is going to get saved. The Holy Spirit is working in them and with them and through them already to bring them back. Like the good shepherd went after that one sheep, whether it's the 1% or that one coin that is lost, or whether it's a prodigal that's gone. Don't see them as prodigals. See them as sons coming back, and let them come and find their rightful place and fulfill their purpose, what God has called them to do. Everyone win someone for Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website, www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.